the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science.
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 131 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring The Black Bird by David Barr Kirtley. I'm your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from Tallahassee, Oregon. Well, here we are. This is it. This is our last Edgar Allan Poe entry for this year. I hope you've enjoyed some of the classic Edgar Allan Poe tales that I've shared with you this time around. I hope you enjoyed hearing Ken Scholes' original story, Evermore, I Told the Raven. Grateful for him for writing that story. Grateful once again for all of the donors who donated to make that story possible. And I hope you enjoyed Dave Robison's rendering of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. And this week, we're kind of bringing it back to our original focus on that poem. And I have another original tale from David Barr Kirtley. David Barr Kirtley has been on this podcast before. We did a version of Red Road. He was also here early on the podcast where we presented his story, The Trial of Thomas Jefferson. I also was able to interview David once about the possibility of his story, The Second Rat, being made into a television series. And it was fun to be able to talk to Dave at that time. And it's too bad that Kickstarter didn't work out. But David Barr Kirtley is also the host, I would call him the host and editor and runner of the Geek's Guide to the Galaxy podcast, which is a very good podcast. I've enjoyed that over the years. And he does a really good job. He gets great interviews, and they talk about a lot of fun things. So I will put links to the show notes to the Geek's Guide to the Galaxy and to David's website. A little bit more about David Barr Kirtley. He is the author of over 30 short stories, which have appeared in magazines such as Realms of Fantasy, Weird Tales, and Lightspeed, and in books such as Armored, Other Worlds Than These, and Fantasy, The Best of the Year. And on podcasts such as Escape Pod and Pseudopod and Journey Into. And as I mentioned, he is the host of Geek's Guide to the Galaxy. This story has been published a couple different times. I think it was in a couple anthologies. Well, I'll tell you more about that after we play the story. But I think I first read it when it was on Lightspeed magazine. And they actually did a podcast version of it as well on there. But it was a single reader, and I thought about just replaying that audio. But I thought it'd be fun to do a full cast reading of it and to add a little bit more to the production. Not that Lightspeed does a bad job on their production, because it's excellent. But they just typically do the single reader thing with a little bit of lead-in music. This story is what we would call a mashup, kids. it's a mashup of some themes and images from Poe, as well as some themes and images from The Maltese Falcon, which, if you remember, I played the radio adaptation of that, I don't know, 6 months back, maybe longer than that. So I think it's a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it. So here we have it. Hopefully it's a good capstone to our Edgar Allan Poe month this time around for the podcast. Now come with me, and let's journey into mystery and existentialism.
The Black Bird by David Barr Kirtley. The black bird on the mantelpiece spoke. It said,
"Nevermore."
The bird, a black lacquered falcon statuette, sat motionless. Spade placed the pistol down on his desk, pushed back the brim of his hat, and approached the bird.
"You talk."
The bird watched him with two small black eyes.
"Yes,"
it answered. Its voice was eerily familiar somehow.
"How?"
Spade demanded.
"You're just a statue."
The bird's lacquered beak moved when it talked, as if the statue were alive.
"Sounds like a mystery to me."
Spade lit a cigarette.
"Well, I'm good with mysteries. I just solved one." "You didn't solve squat,"
the bird sneered. Spade was perplexed. He had solved the case. The blackbird was a fake, a decoy. They'd scraped away a bit of its lacquered exterior, and instead of priceless jewels, they'd found nothing but worthless lead. He said suspiciously,
What do you mean? You never did find the real falcon. Don't you wonder where it is?"
Spade shrugged.
"The Russian has it, probably. Let Gutman and the others go after it if they want. They'll never find it."
"Wrong,"
said the bird.
"The Russian doesn't have it. In fact, it's right around here somewhere."
Spade studied the bird. Finally, he said,
"All right, I'm listening."
"Good. Listen closely, because this is a real mystery, not like your usual work, which is always about who killed who or who's banging whose wife. That's not a mystery, Spade. That's hardly even a puzzle."
Spade frowned.
"Real mysteries,"
said the bird.
"Like, why do we exist? What's the nature of truth? Is there a higher power? They don't have solutions. That's what makes them mysteries."
Spade broke in.
"So, where's the real falcon?"
The bird sighed.
"It's too obvious. I think you would have figured it out by now. You're the detective, after all."
"Tell me.
Didn't you ever read the purloined letter? The best place to hide something is in plain sight, where no one will think to look for it."
Spade walked across the room and lifted the black bird off the mantelpiece. It chuckled as he turned it all around. He walked over to his desk and set the bird down, then flicked open his pocket knife and began scraping off more of the black lacquer. Underneath, of course, was nothing but lead.
"You're getting warmer,"
said the bird. Spade opened a drawer and took out an iron file. He began scraping away at the bird's leaden neck.
"Oh, even warmer now."
Spade scraped deeper and deeper. Then he took a deep breath and blew, sending filings flying away into the smoky air. Beneath the lacquer and lead, the bird was made of gold and jewels, which sparkled even in the dim light of Spade's office.
"Congratulations,"
cried the bird.
"You solved the mystery. You're rich. Case closed."
"Something's not right here,"
Spade said. He took up his pocket knife again and used it to poke the largest jewel. The knife's tip sank a few centimeters in, as if the jewel were made of chocolate.
"Oh, boy, now you've done it. The plot thickens."
Carefully, Spade started scraping away at the jewel.
"I should warn you,"
the bird intoned ominously,
"that if you keep digging into this matter, you may not like what you find."
Spade ignored him.
"Of course. People in mysteries always say that, don't they? And does it ever happen? No way. The hero goes right ahead, catches the killer, and gets the girl. He gets his picture in the paper and a handshake from the mayor. So go ahead, Spade. Don't listen to me. Keep digging. Everything will probably turn out all right in the end.
The faux jewels fell away like dry scabs. Beneath lay cogs, flashing lights, an intricate network of tiny machines.
What's this?
Spade said.
Microcircuitry. That's what allows me to talk. There's no such thing. Well, look who knows so much. Just because you've never seen microcircuitry, you presume it can't possibly exist. Read Hume sometime, why don't you?
Spade poked at the microcircuitry with his knife.
What is all this? Computers. Machines. That's what it's all about, Spade. Everything's a machine in one way or another. Your body. The universe. One day you'll probably be replaced by a machine. Who knows? I don't think so. Sound improbable?
Said the bird.
Why don't you try scraping away at your own outer layer? You might be surprised at what you find.
Absently, Spade ran a fingernail down the skin of his forearm.
Leave well enough alone. Just this once. I think there's something more,
Spade said.
A deeper layer.
He began to scrape away at the microcircuitry. Circuits popped and sparked and fell away. Motors broke and oozed hydraulic fluid. Lights went dark.
You're out of your league, Spade. Why don't you just go back to murder, adultery, that sort of thing? That's more up your alley. I've broken the machines,
Spade observed.
And you're still talking.
The bird nodded reluctantly.
Perhaps it isn't the microcircuitry, after all.
Beneath the circuitry was a pink, porous surface.
Looks like skin,
Spade said.
Maybe,
said the bird. Spade filed away at the falcon's beak, which cracked off and fell to the floor. He filed away its eyes, its throat. He scraped away tiny circuits and fake jewels, exposing more and more of the flesh.
It's a face,
he said.
Oh, it gets better.
Said the bird.
It's my face,
Spade said finally. A living, miniature version of his own face stared back at him from the opening in the blackbird's head.
So you see, this is how I can talk. I'm actually alive, after all.
Spade realized with a start why the bird's voice sounded so familiar. It was his own.
Why do you look like me? Because our perceptions of things, mysteries, for example, are filtered through our own consciousness. If you keep digging for truth, eventually all you'll find is yourself. There must be something deeper,
Spade insisted.
I wouldn't count on it.
Spade raised his knife. The bird eyed it nervously.
Spade, what are you doing?
Sam Spade had never failed to solve a mystery, and he didn't intend to start now.
I want the truth.
With an unsteady hand, he began to scrape away at the tiny face. Clear amber fluid oozed out. He scratched at the falcon's throat.
That's the jugular vein,
the bird whispered.
You might want to be careful around that. Will it kill you? No.
Spade sliced it. And blood billowed forth, splattering across the desk. Spade gasped.
Blood! Blood,
the bird confirmed.
That's as deep as you're going to get.
Spade set down the knife.
That's the answer to your mystery? Blood? I never said there was an answer. Quite the opposite, in fact.
Spade scowled.
That's not a mystery. Au contraire. That is a true mystery. Real quests for the truth usually end in fits of self-destruction and bitter disappointment. I'm not finished yet. Oh, no? What's left to do? You've already...
It paused.
Uh-oh, Spade. Looks like you're bleeding.
What?
Spade pressed his fingers to his neck, and his hand came away wet and sticky. He leapt to his feet, ran across the room, and looked into the mirror.
I told you it wouldn't kill me,
said the bird.
Beyond that, who's to say?
Blood oozed from a gory section of Spade's cheek, and a deep gash ran across his throat. He seized a cloth to staunch the flow of blood from his neck, but the fabric soaked through instantly. He spun around and stared at the bird.
I said you might not like what you found,
the bird said, almost apologetically.
But you didn't listen.
Spade sank to his knees, his blood dripping wide, wet spots across the carpet.
No girl for you,
the bird scolded.
No handshake from the mayor.
It hopped from the desk and strode across the carpet toward him.
I told you you were out of your league.
The bird shook its head ruefully.
But would you listen?
Spade collapsed, his head striking the floor.
Will Sam Spade live to solve another mystery?
Spade watched as it loomed closer, its bleeding face a mirror of his own. Finally, the bird stood before him, casting a long shadow over him.
Never more. Never more.
So there you have it. There's The Black Bird by David Barr Kirtley. And hopefully you enjoyed that mashup. I thought it was a lot of fun. Of course, I like The Maltese Falcon and I like Edgar Allan Poe. And I thought David did a really good job of bringing those two things together and making a singular story out of it. And, you know, there's a lot to it that, you know, you could think a lot about, you know, this existentialism and scraping through the layers that we put on ourselves and who we really are and all these types of things. So there's that layer to it, but it's also just an interesting read, to see that it's what I thought was even more fascinating was the story behind, how he came up with this. And it's kind of a humorous read. This is out of Lightspeed Magazine. They did an author spotlight on David when they ran this story, The Black Bird. And he kind of tells how this story started, or how he thought of this story and how it developed. So here you go. He said, I wrote this story at the Clarion Writers Workshop in 1999. This is when Clarion was in Michigan. It was extremely hot and muggy that summer, and the dorms had no AC. The walls were also very thin, and the people across the hall from me were having sex constantly, and I could hear every word and or moan, which made it challenging to sleep or write. So I was constantly hot and exhausted and drifting in and out of sleep, and when it's too hot, I tend to have really strange, vivid dreams. I had just read Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon a few months before, and for whatever reason, I had this vision of scraping away the lacquer to reveal lead, and then scraping away the lead to reveal something else, and then scraping away that to reveal something else, and so on. I also had the idea that this black bird statue would be talking to you while you were doing this, which of course put me in mind of Poe's poem. So that's where the basic idea came from. So I thought that was pretty interesting, and yeah, dreams and lack of sleep and, you know, fixating on different images can really bring some interesting stories. And I think that's definitely true with this tale. But I think he took that strange imagery and those strange ideas and put it together really well. Hopefully you enjoyed the story as well. I forgot to do a cast of characters for the story. Not too many people were involved. It was of course, me as the narrator. And then Rish Outfield was both Sam Spade and the bird, the Maltese Falcon. And he did a good job with that, making them different but similar, and then bringing them together at the end. As always, thanks, Rish. You do a great job, as always. And if you haven't seen The Maltese Falcon, or you didn't listen to the podcast that I did of it a while back, you can always go check it out, either in movie form or the radio adaptation form, and come back and listen to the story. But I think you get the gist of it. I mean, it's basically, you know, Sam Spade, the hard-boiled detective kind of guy, you know, ends up talking to this bird. I've had an idea for a similar story, and I still might do it. Well, similar only in the idea that I'm talking to an animal statue. When my wife and I were in Hawaii, I bought this little ceramic turtle, and I bought it basically because I broke it. It was low on the shelf, and I kind of hit it with my foot, and it kind of came out and broke a little bit. But I was actually looking at turtles and you know, thinking about getting a turtle something while I was there. So this just happened to happen that I broke the turtle, and so we ended up buying it. But you know, I've thought about, you know, what if this turtle was my spirit animal, and what if it taught me profound things about life and about who I was, or, you know, introduced me to this other world or this other reality that I didn't know about before. And this, so, you know, one day this turtle would talk to me and, you know, would tell me the reason that I jumped out and caused you to break me in the store was because you needed me. I needed to be here to guide you through this experience, or something like that. So I was reminded of that when I was listening to the story again. And so who knows, someday I may write that up. Speaking of stories, you know, this time I didn't do a contest for Edgar Allan Poe stories, and maybe some of you were looking forward to writing another Poe story where you had something in mind. And first of all, I'm flattered that you would think of this podcast as something you would want to write a story for. But also, you know, this year I wanted to do something different. And maybe in the future, when I do Edgar Allan Poe month again, I can be a little bit more prepared and do something with as a contest. But I've decided to run another contest, and I don't have all the details. So this is just kind of the primer to get your minds in gear. But I thought I would do a more podcast-centric contest this time. Not that it has to be about the podcast or me or anything else like that. But what I wanted to have as the premise for this writing contest was that every title of every story would have to have the word, start with the words, journey into. It doesn't have to have the dot, dot, dot. That's just my thing for the title of the podcast. But it could be whatever. Journey into the Amazon. Journey into Data. Not Data, the android on Star Trek, but just... I went to a convention where that was one of the titles of one of the seminars that was going on. Journey into Big Data. I thought that was an interesting title. But journey into something. You come up with the title. Journey into whatever you would like to journey into. Could be, you know, journey into Wonderland, whatever. Whatever. I'm not going to pre-bias it with anything. I mean, you have an imagination. You can come up with your own title. But I do kind of want to do this similar to the way that Dune Steve did their last contest a year or 2 years ago, whatever it was. I want to have people, and don't do this yet, I'll come back either with a special announcement to announce the official rules or whatever. I'm just kind of spitballing things here right now. But I want to have people submit, no, that's not the right word. I want to have people... I basically want to have people email me saying that they want to contribute to this contest, that they want to be in, that they want to be a participant in this contest. And I'll have some kind of, it won't be the three words, the three nouns kind of thing, but I'll assign each of you something that has to be included in your story. And I think that'll make it a little bit more challenging, a little bit more fun. Maybe it'll be more inspiring to your story. You're still going to come up with the title, so I'm going to try to make whatever element that I assign to you to be something that doesn't force your story to be a certain thing or your journey to be a certain thing. So I'll try to make it as random as possible, and I just think it'll make it kind of fun. So there'll be more details on a Journey Into contest, writing contest, probably in the next month or so. It'll either come out next week or it'll come out in 4 weeks, but either I'll do it for my next episode of the podcast, or I'll put out a special announcement announcing the rules and put it out on Facebook and everything else. But hopefully that interests you. Hopefully you'll get your minds turning about what you want to journey into, and that I'll get some interesting stories to present here on the podcast. I've also thought about including judges instead of just having me judge the stories. That always kind of creates other problems. But anyway, if you have your own ideas or want to help out or whatever, let me know. Again, I hope you've enjoyed this Edgar Allan Poe Month. I've done things a little bit different this time. I included old-time radio shows that told the Edgar Allan Poe stories, which they weren't pure readings of the story. They were adaptations. So hopefully you still enjoyed that. And if you didn't enjoy it, I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. So, but hopefully you'll come back and come with me on different journeys as we move ahead. And so, as I leave you, in the words of Edgar Allan Poe, take this kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, this much let me avow. You are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. Journey on.
This is Brian Lincoln from the Fullcast Podcast, and I'm here to tell you that the Journey Into Podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means that while you cannot change it or sell it, you are encouraged to share it however and with whomever you would like. The theme music for the podcast has been provided by Man in Space.